we go. Oh, baby, welcome to Duck It Motherfucking Dialogue.
Oh, man, that was pretty good.
Going hard here.
Factoids.
Okay, we're here.
Bunch of cool stuff that NASA's doing.
With Zach Bosch of NASA. He is the NASA. This is the first ever Duck It Dialogue podcast. My name is Henry Winkler, and I'm here with Zach Bosch of NASA, who's going to talk to us about the upcoming eclipse, August 21st, 2017, in the U.S. somewhere. How about you, Zach Bosch? Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Am I talking to you and Conan?
We're talking to the fish, the two leopard geckos, and all the listeners out there.
We're live, not live.
Live, not live.
Not happening.
We're not crappening. For those of you who don't know, it's just me and Zach Bosch here. And we're talking to each other.
Right. All right, so, Steven, do you know what an eclipse is?
An eclipse is when an object goes in front of another object and then another object.
Yes.
Basically.
All right. Thanks for coming out.
You got to talk into that thing.
Oh, yeah. Where do you need me?
Okay. That's better.
That's good?
That's better.
Okay. So.
Introduce yourself, Zach Bosch.
I'm Zach Bosch with NASA.
There you go.
And, Steven, I want to tell you a couple things about the eclipse.
August 21st, 2017.
You may or may not know.
Most likely may not.
I'm going to go with may not. So had you started, had you ever wanted to see an eclipse before this?
No, Zach Bosch. I had never even thought about an eclipse before.
All right.
Until you announced it to me, and now I'm super interested because that's going to be cool.
So I will tell you, I've always thought they were pretty cool, but I'd never really been as motivated to see one. I don't know why. I guess because it just felt like I hadn't had the opportunity. But now the opportunity's like shoved in our faces, so we kind of have to do it.
Yeah, when it's like 4 hours away,
mm-hmm.
and there's something happening that only happens every 100 years or so,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of hard to justify not going to see that happen.
Yeah.
I don't foresee me living to be over 100, let alone over 35. I've got about 5 more years left.
So you're sort of right. Like, it actually happens a lot more often than that. But this instance of it is kind of a once in a 100-year type thing, or twice in a 100-year.
Just so you guys know, Zach Bosch is here to break it down to me in layman's terms.
That's right.
The eclipse, so we can all understand what people at NASA are doing.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the eclipse. Basically, what's happening is this is a total solar eclipse, so the moon is going to completely block the light of the sun.
Of your heart. It's a total eclipse of the heart, ladies and gentlemen.
We're going to watch the eclipse in a Mitsubishi Eclipse.
Ooh.
Listening to total eclipse of the heart chewing eclipse gum.
Whoa. It's, oh my God, okay. It's the inception of eclipses. We're incepting eclipse.
That's one hell of an eclipse.
That's an eclipse. All right, Zach Bosch, continue.
All right, so it's recorded throughout history one of the most spectacular natural phenomenons, if not the most spectacular natural phenomenons. Because you also have other ones that are pretty awesome that you get to see every year, like meteor showers, if you live in a place that's not completely drowned out by lights. Maybe a comet coming by. We have comets that come by every now and then. You usually need a telescope to see them. The super bright one like Halley's Comet hasn't, it comes around every 60 some years or 70 some years. So, okay. You might get to see it. You probably will. You might. But an eclipse, a total eclipse, it's a real treat to get a total eclipse, especially one that is coming all the way across North America. It spends about 50% or so of this eclipse is across land, which is pretty awesome because...
How often does that happen?
Not very often.
It's usually over the ocean?
Yeah, because we're pretty much a water planet, or it'll hit some islands or some things like that.
How do you know we're a water planet? How do you know we're not an Earth planet?
We're called Earth. You know, we're 71% water, but we're called Earth.
Doesn't make sense.
No. And then, of course, you have all the frozen water at the poles and then all that precipitation in the atmosphere. We're pretty much water.
Okay.
We should be called Water World, really.
Can you break down water into the layman's term?
It's wet.
Okay.
The wet stuff.
All right, I'm back on track. I'm following. Okay.
It's mostly... Our planet is mostly blue, wet stuff.
Okay. And we want that.
Mm-hmm. Clear-ish, that. Bluish, wet stuff.
Bruce Lee said, be water.
Mm-hmm. So it's really a unique opportunity that not only is it going across land, it's all going across the same country. So people have an opportunity to get to it easily and readily.
Pretty much everyone in the U.S. can get there relatively.
Exactly. It's going through right through the middle of a developed world.
So where does it go? Where does it start in the U.S. and where does it end?
It starts in Oregon.
Starts in Oregon.
Yes, about 10:15 local Oregon time. And then
10:15 a.m.
A.m.
August 21st, 2017, mm-hmm. Oregon. Yes.
And then it moves diagonally all the way down.
Okay.
Through this, it touches 14 states, but I think 10 of those states actually passes through the majority of them. You know, there's a couple states where, like, Georgia, very tiny bit of North okay. Georgia gets totality for, like, 10 seconds. But so technically it's in the path.
Okay.
So
it heads from west to east, correct?
Yes.
West coast to east coast?
It's going west to east at about an average of 1,600 miles an hour.
Okay.
Three times the speed of sound it's moving. So it's going to cross the whole country in about 100 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And by it, I mean the shadow of the moon.
Okay.
So
it's like a plane going overhead and the shadow just...
Yeah, but planes are flying at like 300 to 500 miles an hour.
Well, it's a smaller scale plane.
So this is unique because it's a total solar eclipse. There's three different kinds of eclipses. There's partial, annular, and total. Now...
I'm familiar with annular.
Yeah.
I think, if we're talking about the right...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the outside of a circle is called an annulus.
Of course.
So it's an annular.
Eclipse. Yeah, I'm tracking. I'm on the same page.
All right. So, the totality is what it's called in the shadow. There's two parts of the shadow. The shadow is called the umbra, which is like the dark middle center of the shadow.
Okay.
And then there's the penumbra. Or the penumbra. And that's sort of this broader shadow, which is like a partial shadow.
Okay.
So that is where the sun is 50% covered, or 60% covered, or 80% covered, or 90% covered, or 99% covered is still considered the penumbra. And if you're standing on the ground in the penumbra at 99% of where the moon covers 99% of the sun, it'll look pretty much like a normal ass day.
Okay.
You will hardly notice a difference.
Really?
Yes. That's how bright the sun is. But being in totality is something completely different.
So totality.
That's explain where you want to be. It's all about being in the shadow.
Explain totality for me.
So totality is where it goes from day to night, right before your eyes.
And how long will it be like that?
In the center of the totality, in the center of the shadow, it's about 2.5 minutes. The longest being 2 minutes and 40 seconds. And then if you're way out on the edge of the shadow, because, you know, it's a circle. So if you're way out on the edge, you could see totality for 10 seconds.
Okay. So potentially, we're going to be in a spot where we can watch. It'll be completely dark for 2.5 minutes.
Yes.
Similar to like Alaska and their 24-hour night. Except it'll be weird looking in the sky. What will it look like in the sky?
So if we go out there to the island on the edge, on the ocean.
On the edge of tomorrow.
So we have the horizon. The whole east to the whole, all of our, everything to the east is a horizon. It will get dark, like nighttime dark. You'll see bright stars. You'll see planets. You'll see Mercury and Venus and Saturn, or not Saturn, Jupiter. And you might see Mars.
So we won't see like a ring around the moon or the...
Yeah. So you'll also see the number one most amazing thing is the sun's corona.
Okay.
And that is the atmosphere. The
all I know is about my corona.
Yeah.
My Sharona. That song. What is the corona?
The corona is the sun's atmosphere.
Okay.
Which we don't normally see because the sun is so bright. Okay. And it's like, it looks like big wispy lines, rays, faint rays of light.
And you can stare right at it. You
stare right at it.
Without any glasses on.
Without.
Are we going? I thought you'd go
with the
blind.
Unaided eye. The only time you
what
can
if you
look
already
at the sun.
Have AIDS?
The only time you can look at the sun is during a total solar eclipse.
And why is that?
Because it's blocking all the sun's light from hitting the Earth. That's what's so amazingly special about where we live and when we live. The fact that the moon blocks the sun entirely and perfectly, no more, no less. It perfectly blocks the sun. Because if you've ever noticed, the sun and the moon appear to be the same size in the sky.
Okay.
That's because the moon and the sun, their size and distances are relative. So, for instance, the sun is 400 times larger than the moon, but it's about 400 times further away.
Yeah, so they're about the same size relative to us. Okay.
So if you are standing directly in between, I mean, if the moon comes directly between you and the sun, it blocks it out perfectly. That's amazing.
So
the chances
of that. Are we going to see like we're going to see the corona? So it'll just look like a space movie. I don't
yeah.
know. It'll look like something
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I can only describe it from what I've seen in videos and what other people have told me, but it's completely blocks the sun. It's blocked 100%. And then all around you at the rim of the horizon, it looks like a sunset, but equally everywhere.
Huh. Oh yeah, cuz all the sun is still around you. So you're just in a shadow.
Yeah, you're in a shadow.
Okay. That's amazing, though. That's going to be really cool. I've never been in a shadow before.
Not that big.
I've spent my whole life just being in the sun constantly.
So, to be there and to see that is, I think it's going to be one of the coolest things that I've ever seen in my whole life.
That'll be really cool. I'm going to be
and
there.
That's why I'm so excited to go to this spot, to be away from most people and to have the whole horizon unobstructed.
Yes, yes.
Because the shadow is 70 miles wide and we're going to be right in the middle of it or close to the middle of it.
Dude. And we can see that far. We'll just see right where this, like, we'll see a line probably of sun and shadow.
Yeah. Out over the ocean. Yeah, like, you know, you're at the beach and you can see the shadows of clouds.
Yes.
It might be so big and so fast that we can't see that, but only briefly.
Dude, that's going to be wild.
All right, so here's what we're going to see on the ground, right? We're going to be on the ground.
Picture this.
We're in place. We're partying. Yeah. And for about an hour and a half, we're watching the sun. We're looking at it through our eclipse viewing glasses. Mm-hmm. And you slowly watch more and more of the sun get blocked by this black disc. It's taking a bigger and bigger bite out of the whole thing.
How long does it take to start from when it first goes over and then to get to totality?
About an hour and a half.
Okay.
From the beginning of the eclipse. Okay. From when the moon first covers the tiniest sliver of the sun. About an hour and a half later, it'll be a total eclipse.
Of the heart.
Of the sun.
Of the heart.
Of the heart. But there's a lot of cool phenomena that happen before that and leading up to it. And that is when you're looking up at the sky, as totality approaches, you'll first begin to see, maybe on the ground, these things called shadow bands. And they look like wavy lights and shadows moving on the ground very, very fast.
Okay.
Almost like shadow snakes. Like a disco
ball type thing?
No, not exactly. They were described as shadow snakes like a long time ago in the 1800s or something. They don't show up at every eclipse. It almost looks like a mirage. You know when you're looking down a hot road?
Yep, okay.
And you see those wavy lines? Yep. Or when you're cooking on a grill.
Yep.
At sunset.
Okay.
And it's casting a harsh shadow on the ground, and you can see how the heat from the grill is causing these wavy lines and a shadow on the ground.
Okay.
That's what it reminds me of. And they don't really know exactly why this phenomenon happens. But it's called shadow bands. And, you know, it might have something to do with the temperature changes in the atmosphere, because you only see it 30 seconds before and 30 seconds after the total eclipse.
Okay.
So it's when there's a bunch of rapid temperature changes, and it could be...
Is it just because of that interruption? Like, you can actually physically see that change in wavelengths
maybe,
or whatever?
They don't know. So it's one thing that scientists don't know, and they're going to be studying during the eclipse.
How can they study during the eclipse?
Oh, I'll tell you in a minute.
I've never studied
anything
ever.
But then, right before it reaches totality, you see a thing called Bailey's beads, and then the diamond ring.
Are Bailey's beads similar to my aunt's beads that I found in her dresser drawer?
Yes.
When she was babysitting me. And they weren't a necklace.
Okay.
Yes. No, not at all. Far from it. Okay. It was named after this guy named Francis Bailey, who first sort of described them. And when you're that, you get to name them. So they call them Bailey's beads, because they look like little beads of light. And that's because the moon's surface is not round. The moon's surface is like all cratered.
Okay, yeah.
And so it lets little bits of light through as it's... That's the last little bit of light is like, you know, coming through the fingers, through the mountaintops or the crater tops.
That's pretty neat.
And so then it all files down to one, where there's that one last little ray of sunshine that's coming through, and then black. And like when that one tiny little ray of sunshine is coming through, everything's still light. That's how powerful the sun is.
That's crazy.
And then all of a sudden, just darkness.
Just like a light switch.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, so is the moon flat too, or is it just the Earth that's flat?
Well, the Earth is flat, the moon is fake, and the sun is fake, okay. And space is fake.
So NASA explained, guys. We did it. Debunked.
Oh, shit. You're recording?
Gotcha. NASA
debunked. You said I was just helping you test.
I win. NASA debunked. All right, let's continue. I want to hear more about Bailey's lights.
Yeah, so Bailey's beads. And then the diamond ring, which is that last little ray of sunshine coming through. And then totality. We'll have it for hopefully 2 minutes, maybe a minute and 45 seconds where we're going.
Okay.
Because I don't think he didn't sound too excited about going all the way up to the center line. And I think it would not be good for us to go drive all the way north. And then too risky to get stuck trying to drive north.
All right.
So then totality. Then when it's coming to the end of totality again, Which, by the way, you're going to feel a temperature drop. You'll probably hear...
What is it? How much?
5-10 degrees.
Like, just boom, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're walking into a shady spot.
Yeah.
Where the things get hot.
Yeah. NASA's doing this, doing a bunch of cool stuff, which I'll talk about in a minute. But you can be, you can do some science. You can contribute.
I can do science?
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do science.
All right. How do we do science? How do we follow along as, how do we contribute to science?
As citizen scientists.
How do we be citizen scientists?
I will tell you in a minute.
Oh my God, we're going to commercial.
So.
This show is brought to you by my aunt's beads. All right, back to the show. I threw him off track there.
Yep. Now all I can think about is your aunt's beads.
Well, that's all I can think about too, unfortunately.
No, so you're in totality, and then it comes to the end. The disc now moves away from the sun. It continues on to the other side of the sun, and you see the diamond ring again, and then Bailey's beads, because now your sun's poking through more and more of those rigid edges of the moon. And then it's light again. Then you got to put your solar sunglasses back on and look at the sun. Do not continue to look at the sun unless you enjoy not looking at anything ever again.
So that's a key factor in this conversation, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Stay safe out there.
No one's listening, but in case you do listen and out you there. Quit halfway through and go, oh, I'm just going to stare at the sun, and for some reason that one person sues us.
Although when people ask how you went blind, you got a pretty epic story.
I didn't listen to the whole podcast.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Or read anything in terms of safety warnings that come on the glasses that I should have been using.
There's a reason why then there'd be a sign. There's a reason why there's signs made.
Right. So now you need eye protection again for the rest of it.
Once the sun comes back into view.
And it's time, at this time, you'll probably be picking your jaw up off the ground or trying to collect your brains after it was just blown. After your mind was just blown. Yep, nature's going to blow your mind. And your dick.
Nature always does blow my mind, anyway.
And NASA's
it's called Nature.
Nature. Nature. Naturally. NASA's doing all kinds of cool shit for this eclipse.
How do we be citizen scientists? Yeah. We almost forgot about that.
So because it's spending so much of its time across North America, NASA has an unprecedented opportunity to study the shit out of this eclipse.
Okay, so what do we got to do?
All right. So not only is NASA doing a bunch of badass science that only NASA could do, like, for instance, putting a self-stabilizing telescope on the nose of a fighter jet and flying it at 50,000 feet above the ground so that they can stay in the shadow longer and observe the corona with badass high-tech telescope cameras taking 30 pictures a second.
Holy fuck. So can he stay right with it, or is it going
too fast?
He can't
fly that fast. Because the speed of the shadow is always moving at different speeds because of the angle of the ground, the angle that it's coming in at, the elevation, the roundness of Earth. Like, when the shadow starts, it's going like 2,400 miles an hour across the ocean. And then by the time it gets to the middle of the United States, it's slowed down to about 1,000 miles an hour, I think. And then as it moves across again, it starts speeding back up to around 1,600 miles an hour.
That's it?
Yeah.
Only 1,600 miles an hour?
But the shadow, it's only like three times the speed of sound.
Man. Not as fast as my bullshit. Can't beat that. Wow, that's crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
So what are they hoping to learn with that?
So that's one of the things they're doing. They've also got 11 different spacecraft that are looking at the sun and the moon.
Okay.
I guess so. About
the
10
ISS is probably peeping that bad boy.
Definitely going to have some astronauts on the space station peeping it. For sure. They have another gigantic airplane that's like a 747 with a hole cut in the side with a giant telescope, an infrared telescope. Dude. And they're going to make heat maps of Venus and Mercury like, we're going to take this opportunity that they blocked out the sun and study other planets too. They're going to make a heat map. We have a telescope that can make a heat map of the surface of Mercury, the closest planet to the sun. It rotates super slowly, so it's like 800 degrees on the sun side, and then as it turns around and cools to like negative 200 on the backside. So they're going to study the temperature distribution of that planet, and then be able, that'll tell us what Mercury is made out of, because we'll be able to do the math on what material is cooling down that much in that amount of time.
Wow, okay. That's interesting. And that's something that they can't really look at normally?
Normally, because the sun is so freaking bright and hot that it's hard to look at a tiny planet in front of a bright star. And then when it's far away on the other side, you can't measure the shadow side because you're looking across the sun at the lit side.
Okay.
And we've sent one spacecraft there before, but it just orbited. And, like, it always had to kind of orbit in the shadow, so it had to take all its measurements in the shadow and stuff.
Probably so it didn't get its face melted off.
Exactly.
How hot is that? 800 degrees, you said?
Mm-hmm. On the sun-facing side.
That's not that hot.
And one day on Mercury is 62 Earth days. So that's how long it takes for one Mercury day to get sunburn.
Damn. So you could actually technically... Is there a spot? Is there like a spot where it's perfect? And if you just traveled at that spot, you could live on Mercury?
No.
Yes. Like, you meant yes. Yes, there is.
I know you've got a baby coming and you're freaking out, but you cannot go to Mercury.
You cannot go to Mercury. No. I'll stay. I'll tough it out. All right. I'll figure it out.
One day I'll tell your son. I'll be like, I had to talk your dad into not going to Mercury.
I was almost there. I had a ticket and everything. That's the first one. Cool. That's wild.
So they're going to have spacecraft, aircraft. They're going to have over 50 high-altitude balloons with cameras and instruments on them, taking all kinds of measurements of, like, air temperature, air pressure, they'll be live streaming from these video cameras. They're going to be 360 cameras, or at least cameras looking in a bunch of cameras looking in all directions. So you'd be able to, like, see the shadow coming across the ground. They're going to have little microbes that they're exposing to space, because these balloons go pretty much to space. They go up to 100,000 feet. So far we've got studies from satellites in deep space, satellites around the moon, satellites around Earth, balloons at 100,000 feet, planes at 50,000 feet, observatories on top of mountains in the path of the shadow, and citizen scientists on the ground spread out all across the country.
We still haven't talked about what we can do as citizen scientists yet. You're keeping us on the on the.
So it's probably a little late to sign up for it now.
Oh my God! And now you're gonna tell us this shit.
There's two different kinds.
Zach Bosch.
The one kind you're probably too late for. They had a grant, and they're working with, I think, like the Astronomical Society or somebody else. But basically, they worked with a lot of universities, and so like astronomy students or clubs or classes, they gave them a telescope. Everybody across the country, about, I don't remember how many, but a bunch spread out from the whole line of the shadow that cuts all the way down the center of the country.
Okay.
They gave them all the same telescope with an instrument that's connected to the eyepiece that takes pictures in a specific wavelength of visible light. And they're going to be able to, instead of take pictures of what the corona of the sun, they want to understand it. There's so much we don't know about the corona, so that's what we're studying. And
it just needs a lime and you're set, dude.
Yeah.
And just we need one on a beach
big space lime.
Take a space lime, shoot it at the sun, and then it's just party time,
right? Okay, so I'll talk more about the corona in a second, but why we're studying it. But so the corona, like we said, it's sort of like wispy, faint light that you can see. Mm-hmm. So they're going to look at it through a telescope, use this special instrument and take pictures. And instead of only being able to see it for 3 minutes, and study how it changes. They're going to be able to study how it changes over the whole 100 minutes. Because they'll just take all of it together and make like one
video
stream of data out of it. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty wild.
And what you and I and everybody else can do is download an app called, it's a NASA app called the Globe Explorer.
Okay.
And then you just sign up and hit the little eclipse button on there, and it'll give you pretty good instructions on what to do, which is basically you can get a thermometer, set up a camera, a digital one works well, but even the ones with mercury, but set it up so the camera can see it if you're in the path of the totality, and take a measurement of how much the air temperature changes.
Oh, okay.
And if everybody gets together and does that all the way across the country, then
you'll have a good range of data.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to tell the...
You'll be able to get an average. You'll be able to tell, like, it's more interesting that maybe the temperature drops more in the mountains because the air is thinner and there's less moisture in the air holding heat, so that there's a greater temperature change when the sun is taken away, that source of infrared energy that we know is heat.
Yeah. Okay.
Versus on the beach, you know, like the temperature, maybe the temperature won't drop as much.
So why are they studying the corona? You said you're going to tell
us
why.
Yeah, because we don't know why this one particular thing happens, right? So the surface of the sun, we can study the surface of the sun. We have many instruments that can look at it in multiple different wavelengths. We can see the outer corona. We can see that when there's a solar flare, that material, that radioactive material from the sun gets accelerated and ejected out into space. And that's the kind of things that can harm us here on Earth are solar flares. They can damage spacecraft. They can damage the power grid. They can damage, they'll blow transformers. Like for instance, you know, many parts of our country have stockpiled transformers just in case for something like this. It's happened before a long time ago.
A solar flare?
Mm-hmm.
Took out what?
A power grid.
Okay. In the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
Was it my house?
Mm-hmm.
It was my house.
Mm-hmm. It was in the 70s.
Fucking god dang. They took my power.
So we can see the surface, and we can see these, they're called a coronal mass ejection, or a CME, right? A solar flare. And we can see it happen on the surface. We have
don't know why it happens on the inside.
No.
What's happening?
We have a special instrument called a coronagraph, which basically is a simulated eclipse. So it you know, you got your camera, which blocks out this, so you can see the atmosphere around it. Well, you can see the outer atmosphere, but the sun's still so bright that even with a coronagraph, we can't see the inner atmosphere. But the moon blocks the sun perfectly that we can see the inner
corona. So this is something they haven't been able to measure yet, or they have very rarely?
Very rarely and very little, because technology combined with the location of eclipses, getting that technology to certain places,
mm-hmm.
You know, all of it's never been this accessible.
Okay.
So this is going to be without a doubt the most studied and probably the most watched eclipse ever in terms of how many people have access to come see it and
what
know
are they
about it.
Estimating how many people are going to watch this.
I don't know, but so there's about 300 million people in the continental United States, right? Mm-hmm. They say that 2/3 of the population live within a 1-day drive.
Dang.
But even
that's
a conservative
like two
number
out of three people.
There's going to be tens of millions of people that see this.
Wow, well, okay.
Combined with live streaming that NASA's going to do, combined with
it's going to be an event.
Yeah, and all of the different scientific instruments that are going to be studying it, and we've talked a lot about the total eclipse, but we haven't talked about the partial eclipse. The total eclipse only covers a 70-mile stripe down the middle of the country. Everywhere in North America. 70
miles wide?
70 miles
wide.
Okay. And about, you know, what, 2,500 miles long?
Yep.
The whole continent of North America is going to get to see a partial eclipse. So here in Florida, it's going to cover the sun about 90%.
Oh, okay. But it won't get dark.
You won't even notice, probably.
Unless you're wearing, will you be able to see?
If you're wearing the eclipse glasses and you look up, you'll be able to see it.
But if you don't have the eclipse glasses and you're not looking at the sun, you probably won't even notice.
Well, there's subtle clues that you might notice. For instance, the way the light will come through leaves on trees and hit the ground, it diffuses the light and it throws a bunch of little crescents. Like it shows the disc of the sun with a chunk taken out of it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you get to see that. That's interesting.
And or some people use a colander because it's got a bunch of holes in it, and you just hold it up and it throws a bunch of crescent sun images on the ground.
What? That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Or you can build an eclipse viewer with a box where basically you like cut a hole in it. And some people use a big box and they put it on their heads, so like the hole's back here. And then that little light is now, you know, the moon taking a chunk out of it.
You're pretty much in a planetarium.
Yeah.
Environment at that
point. Or you can take a mirror and hold it at the wall. And if you make a mirror with like some jagged edges, or like cut out a piece of paper, make some jagged edges and put it on the outside of the mirror to help diffuse the light properly, you shine it on the wall and you get like a perfect eclipse viewer.
Hmm. And then that just, you'll just see the shadow pass across mm-hmm. the sun on the wall or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Yeah.
You need a drink?
Just some water. Yeah.
I'm going to get a beer. Total eclipse of the pinhole camera. Yeah,
right. All the little like crescent lights. It's like a reverse crescent moon.
That's so cool. It's basically, you gotta watch this. That's what you gotta do.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Bosch, are we done? Or you got more?
Let's see.
What else you got for us?
Check my notes.
Again, this is Zachary Bosch. Bosch. Zachary Bosch. Bosch. With NASA. The space place.
Okay, so let me tell you one of the other reasons that I think this is so cool. The moon being the perfect size. And when I say perfect, I mean perfect. Because the moon's orbit is an ellipse, right? Sometimes it's a bit closer, sometimes it's a bit further away.
Yeah.
So there's three different kinds of eclipses. The total eclipse, the amazing one that we have to go see. The partial eclipse, which is everybody that doesn't see totality still sees the moon take up most of it, right? That's going to be all of North America
mm-hmm.
and some of Central America. But there's also another one called an annular eclipse, and that's also known as like the Ring of Fire eclipse. Maybe you've seen pictures of that one.
I was thinking that's what we're going to see. We're not going to see that?
No.
So it's going to be when you're... Okay. I was kind of envisioning that.
Nope. That's an annular. So when you're
saying we see the corona, it's just...
That's not the corona. That's... You're looking
at... What are wispy... I can't even picture it in my head.
Did I bring this picture? I didn't bring the one picture that describes it so well.
Oh, no.
But I have it on my computer. No, I don't, because I'm not connected to that network.
You can connect.
No, I gotta be connected to
NASA stuff.
The at work network.
Is that a NASA computer?
Yeah.
You guys have Alienware computers?
I do. I'm the only one.
You're the only NASA employee with an Alienware?
Uh-huh.
Does that make you special?
I might not be the only NASA employee.
So, yes, it makes you special.
Yeah.
Can we control the science on a sphere from your phone right now?
No. But maybe. All right. I'm going to pull
something up here and I can show you something cool.
Total eclipse of the heart. Right now, Zach Bosch is pulling up some diagrams for you guys to not see.
Mm-hmm. Yep, this one's just for Steven. You gotta be here.
I'm Steven. I'm the lucky one.
I'm the lucky one.
I am the lucky one, yeah. I'm here. I'm here in the living room drinking a Heineken beer.
Yeah.
Which is actually a Yingling beer.
All right, so here is maybe one of the best pictures that can describe it. Let's see if I can do it justice here.
Are you online?
No, I'm just on a webpage that was already loaded.
You should cast it to the screen behind you.
I'm not online.
Oh, you're not online. You gotta be on the line. On the line. Can you believe online's just everywhere now? I remember when he used to... Whoa. It looks like an eyeball.
I can see that, yeah.
Wow. I'm gonna get to see that in like real life. Whoa, okay. That's not like what I was picturing at the beginning of this.
I didn't think so. I wasn't feeling it from you.
Okay, but yeah, that looks amazing. I was like, okay, we'll see a ring of fire around the... Okay, we're going to see an annular. So the ring of fire is an annular. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a total. And then there's partial.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, okay. Yeah, guys, it looks like an eyeball.
Slide over here real quick.
I'm going to slide up in there.
No homo. All right, so.
Whoa.
There's the Earth. Those are a couple satellites that are going to be observing the sun. Two of the many. So... Here's what it looks like, right? And minutes per second. See that shadow?
Okay.
That's the umbra. And there it goes. Or, to put it a bit more plainly, let me pull this back up. There. What you're looking at there is the shadow. The outer is the penumbra. That's going to move across first. And then the inner is the umbra. That's totality. So everybody's going to see a partial eclipse.
In the whole fucking world.
Yep. In fact, let me show you. This is probably one of my favorites. Oops.
What's on the other side?
Nighttime.
Night. I thought it was flat.
So here we are, just beyond the moon. And that's the moon's shadow. So the light, obviously, comes from the sun. Gets blocked by the moon. That small part, the umbra, is where you want to be.
We're going to be right there.
Also, what you were thinking of is this here.
Snail trail.
That's what you're thinking of, which would be partial annular. But us...
Because I think I've seen an annular before.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
In New York. Has there been one? When I was little, I feel like there's one when I was little.
And we were told not to look into it.
Hmm. Cool. Maybe. I'm not sure about past eclipses.
It was nighttime, though, I feel like.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of lunar eclipses.
Okay, so I saw a lunar eclipse.
Okay, so yeah, that's another thing we didn't even talk about, right? So there's two different kinds of eclipses. There's a lunar eclipse and a solar eclipse. Solar eclipse is moon blocking sun. A lunar eclipse is the Earth blocking the light from the moon. Or to put it in a better way,
the reflection of the light?
The moon goes through the Earth's shadow. The Earth casts a shadow out into space. The moon goes through our shadow. Okay. That's why it looks red. A lunar eclipse looks red.
Because?
Because the light is being diffused through our atmosphere and hitting the moon.
Ah.
So okay. Just like we see a red sunset.
Yeah.
What you're seeing is Earth sunsets projected onto the moon.
Okay. That's pretty neat. How neat is that?
So you've actually seen a lot of lunar eclipses because one happens every year.
I feel like I've seen a... one where there was a ring around it, man. It might have been a annular one.
Maybe.
When was there one in New York?
I don't know. Where's my phone?
In the 90s?
In the 90s. It's under all this mess.
Let's see. Look. How do you spell up. Annular? Look A-N-A-L?
A-N-N-U-L-A-R, I think.
Last annular eclipse... through New York. Let's see.
Beats me.
/1925. I don't think I was alive for that one. I don't know.
How about September 14th, 2099?
I think I saw that one. That's the one I saw. Okay, wait.
'04?
Dude, that had to be of it then.
April 8th, 2004.
You found one?
I think so.
I know I've seen one. I feel, because I remember, like, I wasn't allowed to look at it.
No, dummy. Zach, of course. So check this out, though. You'll like this. In 2045, it'll come over us. We'll get a total eclipse here in 2045.
Right in Florida?
Mm-hmm. They say everywhere on Earth experiences one every 388 years.
Damn. I don't know if I'll be around for all those years.
So, yeah, no. You haven't seen any eclipse in New York?
Well, that's that, guys. We just figured out the eclipse. We got it. I feel like I learned so much today.
Let me just run through my little list here, make sure I didn't miss anything. Sorry to burst your bubble. I know you want to go. You want to shut this shit down.
We don't need to shut it down.
Quit giving me the eyes, Steven. I get it.
I'm giving him the...
All right, now he's kicking my foot. Stop it!
After each show, I get to make out with the guests.
That's why I don't want this show to end.
And I really want it to end, to make out with him.
Nope, look at that. I just got 100 more things on my list, you know.
I got beers, so we're good.
All right, so this eclipse is all about totality. You know that. You know that ideally you want to be on the center line. First contact is in Oregon. Last contact is in good old South Carolina.
Goes right through the middle of the US.
Mm-hmm. The most you could possibly see this particular eclipse is 2 minutes and 40 seconds. A solar eclipse only happens on a new moon. That's another interesting little factoid. You know, you got phases of the moon, full moon, new moon. Well, obviously it have to be new moon because there's no sunlight hitting the face of the moon that you see. So
what does a new moon mean?
The new moon's when the moon's in front of you, basically.
What's the difference between new and full?
Full is a full disk in the sky. Mm-hmm. And then you have waxing and waning.
I know that.
And then the opposite of full is new moon. That's where
you can't see it?
That's where you see no moon.
Okay.
So has to be a new moon when the eclipse happens. But it doesn't happen at every new moon. Otherwise, we'd have one every month. And the reason, do you know why?
Because...
Yes?
It only has a period once a month.
No.
It's a...
There hasn't been one of those in here in a while.
No.
Ever.
I'm pregnant. Ever. Yeah, this is period free. For a while, too, because there was an old lady that lived here. Conan, my dog, it's tapping. Tappy tap tap.
Thinks he's fancy. No, because the moon's orbit is
elliptical.
Well, it's also on a bit of elliptical. A tilt. It's on a 5-degree tilt. So sometimes it's here, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's here.
In relation
to
what?
To the Earth. Like,
is that how they measure tilt?
Well, it's going around like this, so you kind of figure, you know, it's doing. An orbit, right, is always going to be in whatever...
A circle.
Yeah, it's circle. Or an ellipse. But it's going to be on one plane. It's not wobbling all over the place, usually. Sometimes they are. But
so it stays on an axis?
Yeah, yeah. And it's... And the moon's axis is 5% tilt.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not an even flat frisbee. It's got a little wobble to it.
Okay, I think I got you now. So, okay. So it's not like this, it's more like up and down a little?
Mm-hmm.
I gotcha.
Yeah, instead of being perfect, it's kind of like this. Yeah, except for like, sometimes it comes around, it's a little high off-center, and sometimes it comes around, it's a little low off-center.
You ever play with those Whirly Graham things?
Yes.
What were they called?
The pen that would and a little motor on it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm picturing. Yep. Imagine swinging a ball on the end of a chain over your head, or even out in front of you. Yeah. It wouldn't always be perfect. It would sometimes be up a little bit, sometimes it'd be down a little bit, sometimes it'd be up. Yeah. So that's what the moon does, and that's why the moon's shadow does not always fall on Earth. It's usually just projected or falls into nothingness of space.
Did you want to go outside, dog? Or you just wanted love?
Just want to get pet. Love. His hair's all short. It's hard to love right now.
New moon. I'm digging this setup, bro. I feel like I can do some shit with it.
Yeah. Okay.
We're gonna have some podcasts.
It's pretty amazing. So, the size of the moon that I was talking about and its orbit. a total eclipse
of the heart.
Is a total eclipse is when the moon is on the closer side of its elliptical orbit to us. So the moon is a bit closer.
See that one more time.
So the moon's got an elliptical orbit. So sometimes the moon's closer to us, sometimes the moon's a bit further. It's not a perfect circle, right?
Yeah.
Well, when the moon is a bit closer to us in that ellipse is when we get a total eclipse.
Because it's bigger.
When so that
means it's farther away in relation to the sun, which mm-hmm. makes it bigger.
Which makes it smaller in the sky, which yeah. is why you get an annular eclipse where the edge of the sun
okay.
comes around the moon. That tiny little difference in its orbit is enough to...
Totally block it out.
Totally block it out. Or not. That's in this in the span of time and space and millions and billions of years, it's pretty cool to live in a time and a place where you could see something like this.
Yeah, that is cool. Because I still want to live on Mercury.
I think it's like, 500,000 years from now or something, the moon will be too far away and there will be no more total eclipses.
What?
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps inching away?
Mm-hmm. It's moving, I think it was like a quarter inch a year further away.
Until when? It'll just go into, it'll get flung out into space somewhere?
Yep. Well, no, I mean, it'll still be in orbit. It'll just be a slightly larger orbit.
Is there ever an event where it can, like, something in our orbit can just get shot into another galaxy?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it would take a while to get to another galaxy, but yeah. Well, we did it with Voyager. We shot that baby, and it's left the solar system. It's gone. So it was Pioneer.
But it didn't leave the galaxy?
Not yet. Maybe one day it will.
Where's it going? What do you mean? What's
it's,
happened?
It's
what?
Just going. We wanted it to see the far-out gas giants like Jupiter and Neptune and Uranus. And it did, but it's not like it's got brakes, so it just keeps going. And so it was
how
kind of...
How long does it take to get the images?
At that distance, like 10 or 12 hours. But it hasn't sent back images in 30 years. Or maybe 50 years almost. They launched it in the 70s.
They lost access to it or whatever?
No, it's just flying through big empty space. Nothing to see here.
So it's not even taking any images?
Not anymore. It flew past Jupiter, and then it flew past Neptune, and then Uranus, and then...
Can it take pictures if there is
yeah,
something?
We could still send the command to take a picture, but there's nothing to take a picture.
Oh, it just naturally just keep taking them?
Right. It's in like a safe mode, you know. It's like powered down except for its essentials. Because it's running off of nuclear reactor power.
So there's nothing out there?
Not where it's at. There's, you know, maybe little tiny bits of space rock and stuff, but for the most part, no.
That's just insane to picture.
I know. Space is actually pretty boring. It's a lot of empty nothing.
It's a lot of space.
Mm-hmm. Empty space.
I think what blew my mind was seeing that Instagram thing that Neil deGrasse Tyson posted. Because I never pictured... I always just pictured the sun as still.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize we're just this fucking bombing thing going through the universe.
Yeah, yeah. It's like we are... on a planet that's spinning, that's also orbiting a sun, which is also orbiting a couple of other stars in a cluster, which
that's the sun's
is,
orbiting something as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. So our sun and a couple other stars are kind of doing this dance, and then inside of this, I mean, this dance is happening inside of the galaxy, which is rotating, or inside of the arm, which is rotating around the galaxy.
Mind.
And then the galaxy that we are spinning around in is flying through space.
We're all just flying.
Spaceship Earth. We're on our own little spaceship.
Spaceship Earth.
Because when we build a space shuttle, or we build a space capsule, or we build a space suit, what do? We simulate Earth, our mothership.
True. We have to. Because that's all we know. That's what we know.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was kind of interesting. NASA recommends that to protect your eyes looking at the sun during an eclipse, you use the solar filters or number 14 welder's glass. Okay. That will protect you. It blocks out 99.99% of the sun. That's how much of the sun these solar filters have to block for you to safely look at the sun.
That's crazy.
And if you do that, this is what I thought was interesting. The surface... Oh, my God, Stephen, I didn't even explain something.
Oh, my God. Explain it.
I totally forgot. The citizen science. The whole reason we're studying the corona. Because the surface of the sun... How hot do you think the surface of the sun is?
Well, if Mercury, how far away is Mercury?
Mercury's the closest to the sun. It's about 20 million miles away from us or something like that.
So if Mercury is 800 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And that one band, 98 degrees, came out in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The sun is at least...
The surface of the sun.
Yeah. The surface of the sun is at least 1 billion degrees.
Close.
Kelvin.
10,000 degrees.
10,000 degrees?
The surface of the sun is 10,000 degrees.
Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit.
Approximately. You know, it's approximately 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
Damn.
The corona is... between 1.5 and 3 million degrees.
So wait, the surface isn't as hot as the
atmosphere.
Atmosphere?
Not by a long shot.
Why?
Don't know. That's why we want to study it.
Helium, right?
It's mostly helium and hydrogen and a bunch of other, you know, that's 98% of the sun, and the rest is trace elements.
Just one like ball of fucking molten metal in the middle or something, or what?
Yeah, heavier elements. That's where heavier elements come from. They're forged in the cores of stars. It's where you get your iron and stuff like that.
Forged in the core of stars.
Mm-hmm.
My poop was forged in the core of my butt.
So I was trying to think of hot stuff, right? So we have the surface of the sun is about 6,000 degrees Celsius, 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. A welder's torch, especially the underwater welders, those get up to about 10,000 degrees.
They get as hot as the sun?
Mm-hmm.
We can make our own sun on Earth?
Yeah, we have man-made...
suns.
The heat of the surface of the sun.
That's wild. I didn't know we could do that.
Lava is... 2,200 degrees Fahrenheit. Lava is about 2,200 degrees Fahrenheit. Lightning. Lightning is 53,540 degrees Fahrenheit.
Lightning is hotter than the sun?
Lightning is about 5 times hotter than the surface of the sun.
That actually blows my mind a little bit. That's a fun fact.
And then the corona...
That'd be a cool fun fact. What on Earth is hotter than the sun?
Also, I'll have to go back and find it, but like the hottest temperature ever recorded on Earth was in the Large Hadron Collider. You know what that is?
No.
Where they found the Higgs boson. Where they it's a particle accelerator. It's a gigantic underground circle that's like miles and miles in diameter. And what they do is they take a single particle and they accelerate it through this tube and they smash it into another particle.
A particle.
Yeah, a single particle.
Like an element?
Mm-hmm.
Like one helium atom?
Mm-hmm.
And one hydrogen atom or something and just blast them? Yeah. Okay.
So... they took...
How big is the tube?
Oh, it's like the size of a car tunnel or bigger. I mean, for everything, you know, but where it's happening is probably like a fiber optic cable or something smaller. Like,
oh my God, okay.
But it takes a lot of energy and a lot of resources and a lot of science happens down there. Mm-hmm. But they took two gold particles and smashed them together and they got like 3 trillion degrees for just, you know, if that...
3 trillion.
I think it was 3 trillion. I have to look it up. But like the hottest the hottest temperature ever recorded. I knew I should have wrote it down.
Oh my god.
But the surface of the sun's 10,000, the corona is 3 million, and they don't understand how or why, or this phenomenon that happens at like all of that stuff that's inside the sun gets shot out and sped up immensely, you know, and they want to understand the processes behind that happening, because those solar flares, how does it go from 10,000 degrees to 3 million? And how is it being thrust out into space as forcefully as it is? And so the only time... Well, wouldn't
it be particles collide of some sort?
Of some sort? You've figured it out.
Well, based on what I've learned here today, it's because of a tunnel underground that collides gold particles together. Basically. The sun has gold on it that's colliding. Gold collision. Dude, I learned a lot today.
Mm-hmm. Make sure I got it all out.
So now you have to take all this back to NASA, and you have to try to explain this to... What is your goal? What are you trying to do? Making a presentation about the eclipse?
Yes. As you can see, I'm still all over the place, and I need to get this shit nailed down.
Yeah.
Into a more concise story.
I think the story... First, break down what exactly an eclipse is. Or exactly what... All the planets are aligned, I would say.
Well, the planet and the moon?
I think, number one, when you're explaining it, be specific in saying that it's not a ring of fire around it. This whole time, up until the very end, that's what I was picturing. And then you, like, honestly, it looks like an eyeball. Like the corona of an eyeball. Or the sclera.
Yeah, you know, I never thought of that, but I could see that now. So this is, like, about one of the coolest things. I want to get a big one of these printed. I just don't know why it says Earth Day on it. But...
Earth Day... That's a sweet picture.
Right? You know, NASA does a lot of those cool posters that, like...
We should make shirts to sell for the eclipse. I survived.
Just let's see. I think that's all of it.
Brought to you by Duff Beer. The Duffiest.
Duff Beer made by Florida Brewing Company. Little known fact.
Really? They have real Duff Beer.
At Universal Studios. At Moe's.
You're right. You're right, they do. I have a koozie from there. Someone got this for me, actually. I don't remember.
Florida Brewing. Lager.
Dang, they got the contract. Zachary Bosch. The hero. Legend. Astronaut.
So that was something else I thought was... This was something else I thought was pretty cool. Like, NASA's using this opportunity. They're studying the Earth, the Moon, the Sun, and other planets. All at the same time.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And they have citizen scientists. Mm-hmm.
But let's cut their funding.
You gotta see how they work. Under pressure. You give them the squeeze.
Alright, so this was kind of cool. The things they're studying about the planet are the changes induced in the ionosphere over the continental United States. So the upper layer of the atmosphere.
Okay.
They're going to study how does the change in temperature and change, more importantly, in radiation from the sun, how is the atmosphere affected? You know, like, because they're going to be looking at it in all different kind of wavelengths and temperature readings and all kinds of stuff. It's going to be cool to see this sort of like ripple wave effect through the atmosphere as this, as
beam like gets taken off.
Yeah.
It's like something traveling in front of a magnifying glass that's fucking burning some ants. Like, that's cool. Let's burn ants with a magnifying glass.
We have to wait a little while. So yeah, in case anybody happens to hear this, make sure you stare directly at the sun the whole time.
Yes. When the sun is out tomorrow, it's actually better to just stare right at it now and get it over with. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dog, fish, lizards, birds, Jesse, Zach Bosch, good night.
Thanks for having me.